Tens of thousands of protesters are expected to gather in Washington this weekend for what's being billed as a last-chance effort to stop a war in Iraq. Demonstrations are also planned in California and overseas. Many anti-war protesters say that despite nonstop media coverage of the Iraq issue, their views aren't being heard. On the other hand, supporters of military action accuse the media of being biased against President Bush. But as NPR's Laura Seidel reports, media watchers say the voices for and against are getting out. What's missing is the complexity of opinion.
Coverage of the Iraqi situation is everywhere.
Will Hans Blix's new report to the United Nations stall U.S. war plans?
In the final days of the U.S. versus Saddam, could there be a final plea bargain, or is war inevitable?
Correspondents and contributors are in place to cover this major development of the showdown with Iraq. The countdown starts in 1 minute.
But since last month, one familiar liberal voice on MSNBC is missing.
Our voice is strong. It is growing. We are very proud to live in a country that doesn't squelch it and tries to say shush.
But MSNBC has decided to squelch Phil Donahue's voice. After 6 months on the air, the network canceled his program. Many who agreed with Donahue's outspoken anti-war views were angry, especially after a few emails from top executives leaked out to Rick Ellis, the founder of AllYourTV.com. The website reports on the television industry.
They really thought of him as being too liberal, too anti-war. They were really concerned about going into a war with Iraq, with Phil Donahue being sort of the face of primetime MSNBC.
In a written statement, MSNBC's president Eric Sorensen attributed the move to ratings. Although Donahue was the most watched program on MSNBC, he was way behind Fox Network's Bill O'Reilly. But as far as supporters of a war on Iraq are concerned, there is plenty of evidence that the media is biased against them. Albrecht Bozell is president of the conservative media watchdog group, the Media Research Center. He says the media is very selective about what it chooses to report.
On a regular basis, there are demonstrations that they simply will not cover. Say, a Right to Life march will never get coverage on the network news. Yet an anti-war march with the same amount of people will.
Editor and Publisher magazine studied coverage of anti-war marches. It reported that, in fact, the media underplayed anti-war rallies last October. But that was not true of the significantly larger marches in February, which made the front page of every major American newspaper.
Critics obviously look at this issue through their own lens.
Bob Steele is a faculty member of the Nonpartisan Poynter Institute, a journalism research and teaching center. Steele thinks both pro- and anti-war partisans can find fodder to argue that the press is against them. But what concerns him is that too much of the coverage portrays the Iraq situation as black and white, war or no war.
We must consider this to be a multiple-level, many-nuanced issue. And that's where I think news organizations have probably fallen short, because complexity is hard to cover. It requires more thought in developing and generating those stories. It requires more craftsmanship in the reporting process.
Instead, says Steele, much of the news is dominated by talk shows with raging debates.
Vietnam, Korea, and then the number begins to taper off
over
time.
Let me ask a question to Mr. Halston.
Has the president made it clear that there was a clear and present danger
to the U.S.
And Steele says that such debates hardly capture the texture and nuance of public opinion, which, according to most polls, is very complex. Public support for the war is growing. Still, a New York Times CBS poll released this week showed that 52% of Americans say the inspectors should be given more time. And according to Andy Kohut of the Pew Center on Research on the People and the Press, that ambivalence has been consistent for months.
The public feels that the Bush administration has pushed too fast for war. They're willing to see more time be spent on with the weapons inspectors. And a majority told us a month ago that the Bush administration had made up its mind about going to war and really wasn't waiting for the weapons inspection report.
Pew also polled the public on what they think of news coverage on Iraq. 66% say the press is doing a good job providing up-to-date reports, but only 48% say the media is successfully covering the public's reaction. But getting out and reporting in-depth on the public is labor-intensive and costly. Newsrooms around the country are increasingly conscious of the bottom line, says Tom Rosensteel of the Project for Excellence in Journalism.
And they are doing programming that is more cost-efficient.
and that's talk shows, talk radio on television. And to do that, you don't have a team of reporters, you have a booker. And the booker gets guests who come into the studio and talk.
Even when the press does spend extra money to do careful reporting, it may disappoint some partisans. The San Francisco Chronicle decided to rent a plane and take aerial photographs of the February 16th peace march there. That decision came after regular complaints that police were undercounting the number of protesters. According to police, there were 200,000 people at the demonstration, but a headcount of aerial photos showed a peak crowd of 65,000. Laura Seidel, NPR News.